Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to founders and executives and get the lowdown as to how they not only scale up their businesses, but also scale up themselves. So, you know, really excited today to have Jantana on the show. Jantana is the CEO of Tapaly out here in London, but actually she's in Thailand right now. So a bit jealous, but really excited to have her on the show. She is a phenomenal person and has a stellar background. She's worked in senior positions across many financial institutions, including JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, and UBS. So super excited, Jantana, to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. And as always, folks, before we kick off and get into the detail, I'd like to give everyone a bit of a synopsis as to what's going to be happening today. So in business, I think we all know business will test you in some way, shape, or form. It might be a loss of an account, a conflict internally or externally, or maybe there's smaller issues around confidence that potentially might chip away at your self-esteem at some point in time. So in all honesty, what this is all about actually is mental toughness and how we can get more of it. And before we go into today's session, I think it's important to define what mental toughness is. And for me, mental toughness is broadly perceived as the ability to deal with stressful situations and pressures and still act in the best of your ability, no matter how hostile or unpleasant the environment you find yourself in, right? And here's the thing. I mean, there's studies that have actually shown that mental toughness can account for up to 25%, a variation of 25% with respect to the quality of performance. So that sort of means that it can give you a huge boost, a huge impact on the outcome of a particular situation, as we alluded to earlier, right? And translate that into the working day or onto the tennis court, the football pitch, the rugby field, you can clearly see that being mentally tough plays a critical role, a vital role in the performance and also your success as an individual and a company. So ultimately, that grit for me, the grit helps you preserve and helps you overcome the challenges, because there are going to be challenges. Let's not monkey about and let's not paint it as a nirvana situation. There's going to be tough situations and you're going to have to lean into those situations and you're not going to throw the towel in because you're going to be mentally tough. And I think it's a vital topic to discuss. So today, that's what we're going to discuss. We're going to go in and we're going to look at how to stay mentally strong as you build and scale your business. And let's rather than me chat about this by myself for the next 20 minutes, which will be slightly boring, let's get Jantana into the show. And Jantana, we've chatted previously and what have you, and it struck me early on that you are someone that has built something up, that is scaling something up, and through that, you have obviously overcome certain obstacles. And you know, for me, The first question I'd like to sort of throw out there is, what do you think, as a founder and executive, what are the key attributes you need in your arsenal to help you hop over those obstacles as you encounter them?
I think if you are in business of business, I think perseverance, resilience, and integrity must be your main attributes, I think. Perseverance, of course, is something you must have in business, as you just already mentioned. Business will throw you, will test you, and you must be able to withstand, even, you know, like life gets tough. You must have that ability to integrity is just one of those things that I think one of those attributes that you must have, because otherwise your ability to be have to be persistent with performance, and so you will keep things, you know, like going. Say that you will do something, you've got to, that's the key of being a business founder or successful business founder.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and it brings me back to a story a few years ago in one of my first businesses. I was sourcing and distributing consumer products from mainland Europe into mainland China to Asia, Ningbo Port, actually, in Shenzhen and the Guangdong province. And, you know, my first deal, I sourced this, you know, this great product, and, you know, I had buyers ready, and the buyers then wanted to obviously sign contracts. So everything was set up. And, you know, in this world, you do two things. You either, you know, as a supplier, you can pay your supplier upfront, or you can pay him on delivery through escrow, etc. And me being slightly naive at that point in time, I thought it was a good idea to pay my supplier upfront, not knowing the things around escrow, which I learned very quickly afterwards. And it's interesting. I mean, I showed the trust. Now, you know, a significant amount of capital was exchanged. And I recall going through a nervous time, put it that way, and waiting for the product to reach Rotterdam, waiting on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, getting calls from my clients on the Saturday and Sunday saying, wait, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And nothing happened. Nothing happened for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and then, you know, 10 days, and then 20 days. And all of a sudden, a month has gone by and nothing's there. And I recall thinking, okay, well, you know, I sort of maybe overtrusted someone at that point in time. Maybe the relationship wasn't as real or as developed as I thought it was. But I'm still going to trust this person. But actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump on a plane, in this instance, go to Italy and have a chat with him and just see what's going on. And that's what we did. And interestingly, in this situation, you know, you've got quite an irritated client because something is late. And you got a supplier, you know, that's maybe on the slightly irritated because he's getting chased up, right? But interestingly, that I was there, had a glass of wine, spoke to his family, had a chat. Next day, boom, done. Everything was delivered. And I think the point I'm trying to get across here is, just because there's a hurdle in front of you, in this instance, it was a relationship hurdle, and I had to figure out a way to jump over that hurdle and make the situation work. And in this instance, it was actually, you know, having a face-to-face, meeting the family, having a glass of wine. But then, you know, everything sort of worked out well. And then off the back of that, things started moving. And I think the point here is you've got to be willing to identify what the real problem is. And you also got to be willing to sort of dig your feet in and go out there and solve it, right? Because on face value, you know, there's a big problem. But actually, you know, sometimes big problems aren't that big, right?
Yes, yes. I think you are quite right to say that, you know, a lot of issues that we're facing today is communication.
Yeah.
Misunderstanding. And if we are clear, that's why, you know, having a clear communication at the beginning, the set of rules, and also making sure that, you know, everyone knows what they need to deliver is very important. And it's not just, you know, like, external, not just customer facing, but also internally.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to your team, you have to make sure that everyone knows exactly what they have to deliver, and how they should be delivered to you, because it's also important how. So yes, I can relate to that.
And as a, you know, we talk about communication here, but how do you remain present? Let's call it that, because your stuff gets thrown at you as a founder, as an executive of a growing company. How do you make certain you remain present and your communication is directed positively in all situations, not just the good situations or the bad situations, but in all situations?
Yes. I will say flexibility and agility is something that one must have. You must be able to, one, you know, accept that sometimes you have to change your plan. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you have to also accept that you can't control everything. And you have to work, you know, around every single obstacle that comes your way. And that's, you know, like you can't have fixed plan. You have to have some plans, but also be able to move if things change.
Yeah, I like that. And people do get fixated on plans, right? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always good to have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, sort of what's the direction, what's the strategy? But I like what you're saying there, because the world changes. And we've seen this. So pieces of paper don't change in a way. You can print out something 400 times, and if it's the same thing on your computer, it's going to come out the same, right? But in the world, you know, one day is not like the next day is not like the next day. And we've seen this over and over again, especially over the last couple of years with COVID, now the stuff going on in Ukraine. You know, not, and also obviously the elections out in France. You know, there's a 2-horse race there. That'll be interesting to see what happens, right? So the flexibility and the agility to sort of maneuver and I don't want to say pivot, but maneuver around your plan to make certain that you still are moving towards your desired outcome, your desired state, is important. But how do you make certain that your team is also continuing to follow you in these sort of movements of plans and objectives and what have you?
Yes. I tend to focus on results rather than the process, to be honest. Yeah. And I make sure that every single task that we have assigned to someone, everyone knows what they have to do to meet those timelines. I think that is important. And we have reference because working for means that we don't get feedback, the communication is not always immediate. And sometimes you can misunderstand emails, texts. So we need to have a way to have that open discussion and communication constantly. So I think, you know, we've got Slack and some of the other communication channel. My team can get access to me 24 hours if they need to. So there's never a communication issue, or at least the mean of communication is there for the team.
I like it, because what you're talking about here is some sort of routine or habit, right? That allows you to feel in control and remain in control, but also empowers your team to move things forward at a constant rate that you want them to move forward. And then that obviously relieves some stress on your shoulders, some burden on your shoulders, right?
Yes, and I encourage everyone to be efficient as well, because if you focus on the result rather than process, then if someone, you know, can do things more efficiently, then they can, and they can do things their way, if that would get the same results or better. So
I like it a lot. I mean, I always like to bring in a practical example. So I'm a bit of a storyteller.
Yes, please do. I have a story.
And, you know, because here's the thing. I mean, even in my business, I mean, it's not always, you know, results and outcomes aren't always visible until you've actually made them a reality, right? And there's a sort of a lead up to it. I mean, I'll give you an example. Just a few months ago, so I released a book. It was actually meant to go live in October. Hey-o, didn't go live in October. It went live in whatever, January or February. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Because why did it go late? It wasn't, why did it go live later than I thought? Well, the simple fact, it wasn't the actual date that was important. It was, and to your point, it was actually the result. Because you can always release stuff earlier, but is it going to be the product that you want or the outcome you want? Maybe not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But to go through that process. And I was thinking, okay, should I release it? Shouldn't I? A lot of people telling me different things. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let my team run it rather than get caught up whether it should be October, November, December, January, February, March. I'm going to release it when the value is correct to release it to the public. And hey, we released it and there's been some cool reviews and people have got some great insights. But I guess, you know, the point I'm trying to make is there's a plan, there's a team, there's results. All these things need to work together in order to get you as a company or as a founder to where you want to go, right? And can you give us maybe a practical example of maybe a similar situation where things were, you wanted a product, you wanted maybe a release was slightly a bit later than you wanted a release to come. I mean, what are the things that, what did you go through in order to get the result that you wanted to go through?
I think just as a context, you know, Tapley, we are a technology bias in the industry. That's part of what we do. Yeah. And that means that we have to deliver a software to our clients. And I can tell you, you know, it's never going to be. There will always be something that you need to either fix or something that, you know, come up and client may change their mind once they, you know, delivered their IT spec. So we have to be flexible on how we work with our clients. We tend to have smaller stages that we delivered. And then we get feedback from customer, and if everything needs to be done, then the whole project building something, and then realize that, you know, like we have to rebuild the whole system. We don't have that because we constantly have that dialogue with our client. We do most testing and so on, so on. So that can help. But anything, when it's come to building software, never how long it's going to take, really. There are, you know, we can. Basically, what we can do with the IT project.
IT is always an interesting one. I mean, I could tell you a lot of stories about that, but let's not diverge. IT is its own world, delivering products to markets and systems, etc. But you know, I like what you're saying there. I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's structure in the way you put in the systems, the processes, etc. That again allows you, going back to the topic at hand here, allows you to again feel in control, allows you to make certain that things are happening. It might happen a bit slower, it might happen a bit faster, but things are actually happening because there's processes, systems, etc.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
How else do you, as a leader in this instance, specifically from a mental, from remaining mentally strong, how do you lead by example? How do you make certain that your team is also remaining in the zone, for want of a better word, and also maybe taking breaks out, maybe doing other things outside of work, so they are as productive and as happy as they can be when they come into work and they come into the office?
Yes. Certainly, I think before COVID, we will have some get together to kind of be besides. But it's COVID. We obviously, you know, have that. We do. Why I kind of, you know, like my team is, I allow them to be able to just self. Ideally, want people to be genuine about their. They have to be comfortable with who they are, and we have to kind of respect every individual. We want everyone to have to feel like they are part of the team and feel connected with the rest of the team, as well as, you know, like that we make sure that everyone are aware of what we need to deliver. I love to tell the team about what's coming up, is keep them aware and also what we need to do. They understand my shoes. They can, you know, they know what need to be prioritized.
Makes complete sense. I like giving examples. I mean, I you know, leading by example as a leader is critical, right? It's vital. It's vital to put into action what we say, right? And I always go back. I mean, listen, everyone on the show knows, maybe you don't, but everyone on the show knows, I grew up in South Africa, and I grew up at the, you know, at the end of apartheid, right? So it was a big transition in South Africa. And, you know, the person that was leading by example there was Nelson Mandela. Right. And actually, you know, in all honesty, we need more leaders like him right now in the world. And why do I say he was leading by example? Well, he could have done a lot of different things. He could have taken South Africa into civil war because of all the atrocities that the then government sort of brought on him and chucked him into prison for a number of years for no reason, right? But he decided to reconcile, and then he went out and he started talking to me as a 12-year-old boy and others. And he was leading by example. And actually, you know, this leading by example, i.e. action rather than talking, allowed a country to follow him, right? And actually, in this instance, the mental scars of previous years were, in some instances, removed. Not always removed, but in some instances removed. And I think if we're talking about mental toughness, mental strength, etc., you know, as leaders, we need to go to the gym for an hour a day, encourage our team to do the same. And as you say now as well, you know, make certain everyone feels connected, but show them how to do that, right? We don't just say, yeah, you need to be connected with our team. We show them, we go in there and we sit down with Joe Bloggs, who's a Java developer, and maybe we can do some Java. I don't know. I used to do some Java the other day. And we show them how to do that. Because lots of times, actually, what I find is our teams actually don't know how to do something, so they need a bit of a helping hand, right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting because, again, coming back to the subject of mental strength, and I think it's a vital thing to install in founder executives and also the teams, because once we start producing this as a culture, which you alluded to, there's so much positivity that comes out of it. Not only from a production perspective, not only from a revenue perspective, but from a culture point of view, right?
Yes. I totally agree with you. Sorry. I can, you know, I get distracted by all this fly. You may not be able to see, but I got this fly and they're just flying all over my eyes.
So. Oh my goodness.
It's like, you know, like.
It's the beauty of being in Thailand, right? The beauty of being in Thailand.
In the middle of nowhere.
Awesome. You know, I wish, slight divergence, folks, but I wish I was in Thailand as well. There's no doubt about that. But you've done a sterling job, and there's a lot of times, you know, folks tell me, no, Richard, I'm on holiday, but we're having a podcast, we're having a chat, and we're talking about some interesting things. And maybe as we wrap up this section of the podcast, what are the two or three tips that you'd like to give executives and founders out there that you've used over the years to make certain that you present your mental toughness and resilience continues to expand as you move forward?
Yes. I do a lot of, you know, kind of self-development exercise, both from, you know, like learning about myself. So self-awareness is my number one. And the second is continue to try to be better, a version of myself every day. So learning new things every day, being the perfect me, having, you know, like aligning my integrity and value with what I do is important, because I want to be happy and I don't want to force myself to change in my value.
Yeah.
So that is basically very simple, right? When I said it, it's obviously everyone should do that, but it's very hard to do in practice.
No, it is. It is. I mean, but it is powerful. Once you, if you look at life like that, and you take those little 1% steps forward, then it's cool, right? Yeah. And I think sometimes we get, as people, we just get overwhelmed by, for example, I want to be fit, or I want to run a marathon, and you look at the end goal. And you go, oh God, I can't do that. That's crazy. But actually, if you just take it, you know, step by step, i.e., you know, have run for 10 minutes a day for the first year, and then the second year, 20 minutes, whatever it is, all of a sudden, maybe in 5 years, you'll be running that marathon rather than, you know, thinking that you know, you never achieve something, right?
Yeah.
So break it down.
Yes, exactly. Make it step, baby step.
Yeah, baby steps. Baby steps are the best steps.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So as we wrap up this part of the podcast, we go into something I call the flash round, which is a bit of fun, right? It is a bit of fun because I like to get tell our listeners who we are. So it's a bit of fun, and there's no right or wrong answers here, by the way. So don't feel you have to say things that you don't want to say. There are rules, though. There are rules. I'll tell you that there are rules. So the rules are this: I ask you two or three questions, and they're one-word answers. So it's like a yes or no or something like that. And then I hand the mic over to you, Jonathana, and you are allowed to ask me one question. So whatever the question is, fire away. I'll try and answer it without stuttering and fumbling. But that's the way it goes. So let's drum roll, please. And we get into it. So the flash round, here it is. Seeing as though you're in Thailand, I actually came with this right now. What is the best place in the world, Thailand or London?
Oh, that's tough. Like that is like depend for our family and holiday.
Yeah.
For Thailand, but for work, for career, I think London is the best.
Cool. It sounds like a tie. Okay, so here we go. The next one, because I know you've worked in banking and I know you've done stints at some of my old clients, actually. What's the best financial services space to work in? Insurance or, you know, investment banking?
Oh, that's as well, to be honest. If I have to choose, of course, I would always choose running my own business. So yeah, insurance would be my preference.
Yeah.
But I think I gain a lot from having worked in investment bank. So I don't have any regrets, and I would not want to change anything.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant answer. Another time, my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's try. What's going on here? So let's try. Okay, now this, I think there might be another tie here. Let's see. So, what's more important in a tech business, the tech or the people?
People.
Oh,
because
okay,
although you're selling the tech, but you still need people. Do you know why? Because it's a lot harder to build relationship, but you can build very good tech.
Yeah.
It doesn't sell itself. You need people. So, you know, if I have to choose between the team or tech, I go for the team first because I know that give me enough resources and time, I'll get the tech perfectly.
Brilliant. Love it. Okay, so now I hand the mic over to you.
Is that my turn?
Be gentle. Don't
this,
be.
This one, I hope this one, yes. No. It won't be too gentle. But to be honest, I've been, obviously, you know, you have interviewed so many thought leaders out there, and I wanted to know what is one thing or one common mistake that all founders do when they scale up their business. Is there anything that you can, you know, share with us in kind of lesson learned?
Common mistake. Oh, that's. I love all my guests, by the way. I just I like to say that before I answer this. Listen, I don't want to say there's a common mistake, but what I would say is, I have found that in the research and the work I've done and the interviews, et cetera, that I've done and the work I've done with clients, sometimes there's a lack of know-how when it comes to business development, right? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that there's a lot of focus on the product, but not for good reasons, right? But when you look at business development, a lot of people think actually just about sales for whatever reason. And then they go sales, they look at marketing, and there's sort of a yin and the yang between the two. But actually, you know, business development is more than that. It's PR, marketing, and sales. And actually, if you have that engine working, that PR engine, that marketing engine, and that sales engine working in unison, actually, you're onto a good thing. So if you build your engine, your business development engine, and you put in the right amount of effort that you should do, and also the same amount of effort that you should do as you build your product, actually things will work out, right? The know-how there's definitely, you know, there is sometimes a lack of know-how, And yeah, I guess that's one thing that I've realized. But you know-how can be learned, right? But I do think you need to build these two areas, these three areas, product, business development, and team, all together. Don't do things silo, right? That's what I've sort of come to realize. So yeah, don't know if I answered that. I didn't want to call anyone out because I can't do that.
It was a great answer. Thank you so much, Richard, for sharing that with us.
Okay, cool. Okay, now to the nitty-gritty. If folk out there want to follow you, want to get in touch with you, want to check out what you're doing, what's the easiest way and the best way for them to get in touch?
Obviously, we've got websites, so they can check our website out. Email us, info@tapley.com, or they can just link in with me. You search for my name, I'm the only
one
again that come right, I think, on LinkedIn.
Brilliant. And folk, I'll also obviously leave all the details. I grab the details from Gintana and I'll leave them all in the show notes so it's easy for you to get. And yeah, listen, really cool having you on the show and really cool that you're in Thailand. I'm again super jealous, but looking forward to catching up when you're back in London. And thanks for coming on the show too. It's been a brilliant show.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.